Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Want to welcome in our first guest, Susan J. Demas, who writes Capital Chronicles and works for MERS Newsletter. Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jack?
Recovered from Tuesday? Did you get any sleep?
I got a little more sleep last night, so I'm functioning.
What is the lesson we should take from Tuesday?
That is an excellent question. I'm sure Republicans will tell you that the lesson is that the American public hates the Democrats and everything they stand for, and they came out in droves to send that message. Out of fairness, I think you got that, that same line from Democrats in 06 and 08 with their wave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I've been thinking about a lot because I don't personally have a life. But I think that the economy was obviously a huge factor. I think people are scared and anxious, and they're not sure when the recession in a practical sense is ever going to end. And they just want help, any kind of help from the government. And if the folks in power aren't cutting it, then they're going to try something else. Because in terms of the policies that voters support, if you look at the exit polls, they're not all lining up and saying, we like the Republican platform.
Right.
Sure, people want tax cuts. There is a concern about deficit spending, for sure. But, you got a third of voters, they want more government spending for stimulus.
Right.
And tax cuts were part of that stimulus. So then you got 54% want more government spending. And yet they voted for Republicans who certainly aren't going to give it to them. So I'm not sure what the ultimate outcome of the election is going to be in terms of how this is going to play out long term and in terms of people's political alignment. But I would caution Republicans from thinking that they have a clear mandate in terms of their agenda, because I don't see that in the polling.
Susan, there are elections where people vote for someone or some party, and there are elections where they vote against someone. Was this an election that was going to be anti-Democrat regardless of whether it was Andy Dillon or Virge Bernero or what Mark Schauer did? As Virge said the other day, it wasn't their time.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Although Republicans in Michigan did better than many Republicans did nationally. So clearly there is something going on here. And, it doesn't take a genius to note that Governor Granholm is very unpopular and has been for a long time.
Right.
And she's been the boss for 8 years. Our economy has been in shambles for an entire decade. So things are particularly tough here, and the Democrats are getting the blame. But I do think that Republicans, especially in some of the state house races and in the Senate, did run very good campaigns. And they also had a whole lot of money to play with, too.
I look at what a lot of people have referred to traditionally as the Rust Belt, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, even up into Illinois and Wisconsin, and that was a particularly good year for Republicans. The fact that it was so much better there, does that just indicate that the jobless rate was more than the Democrats could deal with?
I think that is a large part of it, because Republicans in the Northeast and even in the West did not do very well. It was the South and it was the Midwest. That was the key for them. And certainly the Midwest has been hurting quite a bit. But, there is something to be said for Republicans hitting on people's issues in terms of, these fears about spending and the economy. I think that they did have an effective message out there that, boy, the economy hasn't gotten any better, and look who's been in power, and they spent us into this. Is that intellectually honest? No, but politics often isn't. But I think it did catch on very well.
Susan, I think it's pretty well known that there are maybe six sectors that control most of the financing for political campaigns and the influence that is peddled in Washington and even on a local basis. Is there too much money in the system now? Is it getting worse? Is there anything we can do to have more accountability?
I think there is too much money. I think campaigns are too long and too costly. I think that it's gotten worse because of the Supreme Court case in Citizens United right. earlier this year.
Right.
So you've got even more independent money out there, and nobody knows where it's coming from. You know, we need fundamental campaign finance reform, and I don't see that that's going to be an agenda item in the next 2 years for Republicans. And probably one of the saddest developments we've seen is that, you know, reform-minded Republicans like John McCain have completely flipped their position on that, and they have absolutely no interest whatsoever in pursuing anything along those lines.
It costs so much money to be elected now, almost impossible to do on a national level if you don't have money, big money, coming in from some of these concerns. Are we in danger of having just about all of our elected officials, if not bought and paid for, certainly deeply indebted to these concerns?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's a debate to be had about, you know, how much impact that this really has on people's votes. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, do people support these interests and then they get money, or do they become more friendly after they get it? But in terms of money in general, if you look at the makeup of the U.S. Senate, over half of these folks walk into it as millionaires. There's, you know, there's so much self-financing going on, and oftentimes it's effective. You know, we have, you know, an example here with our next governor, Rick Snyder.
Right.
There's no way he could have made it through a Republican primary without spending $6 million. It doesn't always work. You know, Dick DeVos failed. Meg Whitman could have set a third world country and kept it afloat for a few decades with the amount she spent in California, and she failed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the trend. If you have a lot of money, you can run for office and quite often be successful.
Susan J. Demas writes Capital Chronicles, a great syndicated piece around the state, our guest on Ebling and You. Susan, a lot of people have talked about Rick Snyder with the fresh approach and reinventing Michigan, but also the fact that he really is inexperienced when it comes to what's going to be happening here. He's walking, he's going to need a lot of help, and he is assembling what looks to be a very impressive transition team. Your early take on that and how important that's going to be for him to hit the ground running?
Yeah, well, I think that Mark Murray has bipartisan respect. He's the head of Meyer and a former Engler official. Doug Rothfels is the head of Business Leaders for Michigan, which has tried to push a sales tax in exchange for changing the business tax, and his wife, Sharon Rothfels, who was Engler's chief of staff. Certainly, we're seeing a resurgence of the Engler era, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these folks. You know, Rick Snyder has both houses of the legislature Republican, and with pretty strong majorities, especially in the Senate. There was a lot of talk going into the election that he would be very bipartisan and have some very prominent Democrats. Frankly, he doesn't have to do that. So it will be interesting to see if he hires anybody.
Well, I think it's pretty clear, based on Republican control of the governor's chair and also both houses, that increased taxes are not going to be an option. So that means...
Well, you know what? I'm not sure that I agree with you.
All right. Tell
me
why.
Let's face it. We've got a $1.6 billion budget deficit. Our general fund is $8 billion. You wipe out the MVT and the surcharge, now we're talking a $3.1 billion deficit for $8 billion. The math doesn't add up. Our governor is a CPA. I'm sorry. He has to know that there's going to have to be a trade-off somewhere. Now, do lawmakers coming in, especially those Republicans, know that? No, they don't. They're ideologues. But all that leads us to is either raising taxes or shutting down the government, and it'll be worse than anything we've ever seen.
You're talking about some pretty deep cuts here. You're talking about 20%.
I mean, you could wipe out the higher ed budget. That's $1.7 billion. That still doesn't get you there if you take out the MBT. If you close every prison in the state, that will only get you to $2 billion. So, you know, I'd really like to hear exactly how we can reform and cut our way out of $3.1 billion.
Well, if he decides that he is going to raise taxes in any form, the howls will be loud and long, and they will start with his own caucus. So.
Oh, they will. I don't see him having a terribly easy time with lawmakers at all.
Sometimes they say, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. This might not be the most fun time to be governor of the state of Michigan. Susan J. Demas, syndicated columnist. Susan, what's the best way to read Capital Chronicles?
If you go to MLive.com.
That works for me. Thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you.